Yes, yes, the Weavers. And those guys were big, by the way. There was a time before the McCarthy, Joe McCarthy decided to shut them down. They had the most popular songs in America, and the McCarthyites couldn't have that, so they worked hard to destroy the group called the Weavers. McCarthyism is a subject we should always have in front of us, actually. It functions here regularly. We're going to be in a few moments. We'll be talking to Phil Conlon, who's often in the studio, but Phil has been he's on assignment amongst the Labor Day paraders, and so he's going to tell us sight and sound of what is going on there. I want to remind everybody that, as we discovered in conversations with Robin Philpott in Quebec, that Quebec doesn't do Labor Day. They do May Day. And I invite you to cudgel your brain as to why that is. It might have something to do with being Francophone and sense of internationalism of Europe and other connections than WASPs, WASP connections. Here we have warplanes, and it couldn't better demonstrate, I would say, a fundamental flaw in the labor movement in English-speaking Canada, and actually the United States suffers from it tremendously. I remind you that Joe Biden, who I heard the leader of UAW, who I have a lot of respect for, but he was saying, that Biden's the good guy. Biden referred to the AFL-CIO. This is a pure quote. It ought to live in infamy, as they say. He says, the AFL-CIO is our domestic NATO. And, Labor Day is a good, we can at least do it to reflect on a few things. And when they refer to you as the masters, the ones who represent the monopolists, which is what they do, I mean, you can't afford to run for nothing. You have to have somebody with a lot of dough, and they will tell you what you're going to be for and what you're going to be against, or otherwise you're stuck. As Lenny Bruce said, they'll leave you with a Dixie cup and a thread. They impose how Labor Day is to be celebrated. That's why you have to have a warplane swooping over. Maybe they swooped yesterday. Maybe they took the day off today. I don't know. I know there's been some pushback. I'm told that we have Phil Conlon. Are you there, Phil?
I am here. How are you?
You're on the line. You're out at the front lines.
Okay. Well, I'm on the parade line. At the Labor Day parade.
I think when we spoke to you earlier that you hadn't, the march isn't over? Did they start late?
No, the march seemed to have gotten a late start. It's still going strong. So I've just dropped out. Unfortunately, I'm by some very loud sound trucks. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. We can't get the, we're not getting the sound truck, but we prefer to talk to you anyway. What is the sound truck saying today?
No, they're just playing music.
Only music?
Yeah, yeah.
What do they play?
Well, actually, here's a UFCW steel band. They're playing steel music, and that sounds very nice.
They're playing steel band. Oh, yeah. A live band. So there was a live performance?
A live steel band, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I give them that.
That's a very, very large contingent.
Anybody have any labor songs, or are there any labor songs left?
I did hear some people, and actually the Raging Grannies were on the sidewalk serenading us at one point.
The Raging Grannies aren't signed up, right? I mean, they're freelance.
That's right, they're freelancers. Yeah, they're
busking.
Yeah,
the Raging Grannies are busking.
The Raging Grannies are busking. I would agree with that. So, that part is nice.
You say they do know some labor songs.
They do, but...
it's not encouraging that the only people who know labor songs are called grannies.
Yeah. I would agree.
It's kind of hard to... There's no slogan that you can get from them. I guess we're just obsessed with the point. There's no labor songs at all, other than
not that I've heard, than the
buskers.
I've been marching, and so I'm just in one place.
And when you march, you guys don't sing or chant, or do you chant?
No chanting, singing. It's very.
So it's a funereal exercise.
It's more like it's not quite funereal, but yeah, it's towards that end of the spectrum. You know, it's subdued excitement, very, very nice.
Well, you're a veteran, Phil, of this. Yeah. So they do tend to be just kind of quiet, don't they?
Yes, they do, you know.
Do they still get in free in a hot dog when they deliver themselves into the hands of the monopolists that run the X?
Yes. As long as a participating union has given you a wristband, you will get into the CNE and get your hot dog. Absolutely.
Here's your hot dog.
Yeah.
That's a militant situation. What kind of are there any particular? Is there a framing? 1, 2, 3 of mottos or slogans? They have anything that they want this year?
Not that I've heard.
It's kind of a Doug Ford march, isn't it? But there's
unfortunately, I'm in front of another very loud sound truck.
All right.
At least this delegation that's passing me now they're dancing. And they're marching in formation, so that's better. They're hotel workers.
That's uniform. No, that's not uniform.
No.
Who is that?
No, that looks like Local 75 or Unite Here, which is a local that has taken a lot of hits since the pandemic. Hotels have gone out of business, and they're being raided by. Rat unions, right, left, and center. I think they've got 3 different raiders after them. So it's nice to see that they have a good turnout.
By the way, that's a topic we've covered on the Taylor Report. I think we ought to come back to it because they've also had success in beating off some of the raids.
Yes.
And particularly major ones. They had a challenge, serious challenge from Unifor, and they basically won that.
Yes, they did beat Unifor. Now there's a second group back at them again in that same hotel, the Royal York.
Well, here's a question. Are those that group that would be challenging them, the hotel workers are themselves, they're in the OFL-CLC.
They are in the CLC-OFL, and actually it's a very large delegation. They're still walking past me. I'd say they have 300 or 400 people. That's very impressive.
Is the challenging union, are they members? Because you can be expelled for that, for real.
Right. Yeah, no, the challenging union is not. You might be surprised to know who they are. They're the group that we used to call the CNTU, or CSN in French.
And based in Quebec. Are they still affiliated there?
And they have, and in Quebec, they were never part of the organized labor movement. They were always independent of it. And now they've started operating in Ontario. They've only been operating in Ottawa for some time. And now they're making a move on the Royal York, where Unifor failed. So that's an interesting development, too.
It is an interesting development.
Yeah. And it's not a happy development. I mean, unfortunately, this culture of raiding, I mean, it really undermines the labor movement. And, I think that there must be some bosses who are noticing it and probably enjoying it because it's,
of course.
Yeah, it's very disruptive. I mean, even if a raid fails, the resources and time a union has to put into resisting a raid means that these are resources and time that are not put into representing their current members and organizing unorganized workers. So it's a very destructive phenomenon.
A major figure in the last, when it was a cause célèbre, and somebody ought to write a book. Perhaps you should do it, Phil, but somebody has to write a book about the Unifor trying to rationalize its conduct inside the Canadian Labour Congress when they were raiding and they were told, you can't do that. And one of the personalities who was at the center of it, aiding and abetting, but also trying to tread water and survive as a leader of the CLC, that would be Senator Yousaf, Hassan Yousaf.
Well, certainly, when the senator was running the CLC, this problem was uncontrolled.
It was out of control.
It was just out of control.
And he received a reward. He wasn't then a senator. He's a senator. And you'll be happy to know, he spoke at the Liberal Party retreat. As you know, he sits as an independent senator serving the Liberal Party.
Liberal Party retreat, of course.
And he went to their retreat to speak on behalf of labor.
Yeah, well, who asked him to? Not us.
Now, there's a strategy.
I'm very happy now to see a group walking by who are tradespeople. So that's good. They
who?
Seem to be tradespeople. They may be carpenters, I'm not sure. They're just saying building trades. But that's nice to see them in the parade, because a lot of them also don't support the Ontario Federation of Labour. So it's good to see them.
They have not previous.
They have not. Well, if they have, I wasn't aware of it. Okay, now I see who they are. They are the iron workers. Yes, they are a CLC, and it's a very, very large contingent. And it also looks like several hundred people.
My father was an iron worker that what they used to call the high steel people. We're all very proud of him because he didn't fall off and kill himself.
They're still proud of their ability to do that.
Pardon me?
They're still proud of their ability to do that, not to fall off.
Not falling off is a major part of the job. Every job he worked on major jobs in Los Angeles. Every job, someone died.
Yeah.
And their tradition was completely unwritten. Nothing to do with organized labor. It had to do with their principle. If someone was killed on the job, everyone got walked off the job. That was their way of protest.
Yeah.
They said, we're not working. All these stories need to be recounted. There is question of Fred Hahn has been very much on the tip of every union person's tongue.
Well, the question of Fred Hahn is in front of everybody in this parade, because there are numerous groups of people along the route of the parade with literature calling for people to support Fred, solidarity with Fred. And I have to say, the group I was marching with is very welcoming, very happy to see them. A lot of solidarity with Fred. I haven't seen the QP group yet. I mean, I think there must be in a different section of the parade. But there is and there's a lot of supporters of Palestine along the route of the parade, giving out literature. Again, getting very, very good reception from the people marching. And in fact, I have to say, it's close to 100%. I saw one individual get upset, and that person they kind of got laughed at. So that is very much a feature of this parade, and there's a poster about Fred, and lots of people have it. I mean, so somebody...
There's a poster addressing support for him.
Supporting him. Well, hold on. Let me read it to you. I just dropped it on the ground. Hang on a sec.
I didn't get that. Sorry. It's what? Did we lose him?
It says, defend Fred Hahn, defend the union democracy, defend free speech for Palestine. And it invites you to send a letter of support. Should I give the reference?
Sure, please.
Okay, it's bit.ly/supportFredHahn. So that's a very nice, and I'm trying to see who this, I think it's personally, I can't really tell who's put out this poster, but it's everywhere. I mean, a lot of people, I imagine it's a few people. And there's a picture of Fred Hahn on it, and he's wearing a scarf that says, be bold, be brave, demand better. So which is kind of union leader he is. I think, as you know, that the effort to derail Fred, it looks like it's not going to succeed. There's no appetite within the senior ranks of CUPE now to try to really push their resolution to ask him to resign. Hasn't done it. I have a piece of CUPE news, which is very interesting. There is a large group of Arabic workers in CUPE. Of course, there would be. I mean, CUPE's got hundreds of thousands of members. And they have written to their national executive complaining that your resolution against Fred Hahn harms us at work and makes us more vulnerable to harassment at work.
Absolutely true.
You should not have done that, right?
So, absolutely true.
Yeah.
Idea that, people feel uncomfortable. Women in a hijab feel uncomfortable in this city.
Yeah.
And no one should forget what happened in the city where there was peaceful demonstrators protesting the Gaza bombing.
Right.
And a man got out of a truck and said, all Palestinians will die. They're going to effing die. And he had a weapon in his hand. So you think Arabs and Muslims feel comfortable?
Yeah. That's
and these union leaders are saying, Fred, you said, listen, you better.
I know.
It's indivisible. Rights are indivisible. You have them and I have them. It's not a matter of we're going to pick out a group and pick on them. You know. And, by the way, that's one of the most important things unions do, and then Fred Hahn would be in the forefront of that, which is protect the rights of all members, whatever their race, color, ethnicity, religion. That's part of what unions are obliged to do by their constitutions. So Fred Hahn's problems have to do with a national union and a bunch of personal rivals who try to exploit a few headlines to do harm to their own movement.
Yes, I think that's a good. Here come the bagpipes. Lord. Okay, this is the old labor movement.
What is coming?
A bunch of people with bagpipes and. I don't see who they're from.
I'll tell you what, Phil. We want to play some labor music.
Okay.
And you hang on, and we'll talk to you after the music.
Okay. Very good.
All right. I think it's either Merle Haggard or yes.
A canvas covered cabin in a crowded labor camp. Stand out in this memory I revive. 'Cause my daddy raised a family there with two hard-working hands and tried to feed my mama's hungry eyes. He dreamed of something better and my mama's hand was strong, and his kids were just too young to realize that another class of people put us somewhere just below. One more reason for my mama's hungry eyes. Mama never but it wasn't 'cause my daddy didn't try. She only wanted things One more reason for my mama's hungry eyes. I remember Daddy praying for a better way of life, but I don't recall the change of any size. Just a little loss of courage as their age began to show. One more reason for my mama's hungry eyes. Mama never had the luxury she wanted, but it wasn't 'cause my daddy, he didn't try. She only wanted things she really needed. One more reason.
That's old Merle. And what it's like in a labor camp is, now there are many Mexican workers in Canada, according to the United Nations, treated like dogs. So on Labor Day, people ought to remember. I didn't live too far from a labor camp, and I remember at Christmas it caught fire. So we're rejoined by Phil Conlon. Are you there, Phil?
I'm here, and sure you can hear the bagpipes. So that is the Millwrights Union, and there's probably 1,000 of them. There you go.
Millwrights.
So. Toronto still has an industrial base. It has a pulse. Industrial work survives. So that's good to know.
Well, what about this? Any of them carrying particular slogan signs about issues that they're facing?
No. You know, and unfortunately, that's just not a tradition, this parade. You're more like just advertising your organization. Without any, without any slogans for the day, and of course, I haven't seen the public service unions come by yet, and of course, they'll often have slogans about the premier of the province because he torments them so much. But the industrial unions, unfortunately, and I have another one coming by me now that I can't recognize. It looks like another construction union, a smaller group. But no, they have no signs other than a flag with a, that's another thing. A lot of them will have these emblems that are very 19th century looking thing, you know. It's kind of very ornate.
Well, and going to the X and getting a hot dog is very 19th century.
It's very 19th century.
That's like getting the old days when you didn't have a union at Christmas time. They gave everybody a turkey.
Right.
It's kind of a double entendre.
Yeah.
Here's your turkey, pal. From the sound of it, if it's any message today, it's support Fred Hahn, isn't it?
Say it again.
I say if there's any big message coming out of what you're seeing there, it's support Fred Hahn.
I didn't get what you said.
It's your turn not to be able to hear.
Well, I got some idiot blowing a horn right behind me. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's see. If you can hear.
Hold on a second. Here's somebody. Here's a group, and they have a sign saying, hold the line, which I don't know what that means. Let's take a look. And they are a craft union, and it says, very nice. It is the Brick and Allied Craft Union, and they're saying hold the line. So,
good.
I guess I don't know what their issue is, but one of their issues, of course, might be non-union contractors, which is always an issue for construction unions. There's always some guy trying to undercut them. So I think that's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Unifor has joined the march. There was a few years back that they were not participating in the march, either because they weren't welcome or they didn't want to be. But my understanding is that for this march, they gathered at Nathan Phillips Square and then were to come over and march. Would you know anything about that?
Well, I walked through Nathan Phillips Square when I arrived, and honestly, I was a little taken aback by how small a crowd they had compared to what I've seen them have in previous years. But they were set up on the big stage in Nathan Phillips Square, looking like they're set up for a big entertainment thing. So now it may turn out that they're at the back of the parade. The parade's still going past where I am. I'm in the corner of Dufferin and King. So the parade's walking down Dufferin Street toward the gate. I might start walking in the opposite direction and see more of what I can see. I haven't seen them yet.
So you saw them gathering with the intention of joining the others.
Right. Well, I couldn't tell. When I went through the Nathan Phillips Square, they looked like they were setting up for a barbecue, frankly. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, it could be that their crowd...
Their tradition is to have some speeches of their own before they go to join the larger parade. And there's a second union, I believe you mentioned, that does that. Could you mention who that is? Who's the other union that gathers separately and comes to the march?
No, I don't know. I don't know who that would be. Right now, I'm looking at a bunch of people walking by carrying an American flag. I have no idea what that's all about.
The American flag.
American flag. Yeah.
That's the vanguard.
Yeah.
They heard about Biden's speech.
Okay, so UA Plumbers and Pipefitters. There you go. Plumbers and Pipefitters have an American flag. And they also have a Canadian flag. I got to get that in there. They have an American flag. I don't think we'd find any plumbers or pipefitters in Chicago.
I think we're providing quite a public service, Phil, because I think we're identifying issues that a degree of incoherence.
Right.
And it partly, I think it stems from the fact that they don't actually understand themselves to be part of an international phenomenon calling for international solidarity for all workers.
No.
And it doesn't revolve, that concept doesn't revolve around a particular government. It is a internationally recognized common life the workers live.
And part of the problem, of course, is we're doing this in September when the whole world, other than us and the United States, does it on May Day, right? We don't do that here, right? Because, I mean, you can't say May Day without bringing up questions. Hang on a second. I have to break off here, Phil. I got to let you go.
Okay. Thank you very much, Phil. Good report. Okay. That was Phil Conda. That's a live, broken up, lousy, funny report from Phil Conda. And I guess today is our day for magic realism. We just said what we saw. This is unfiltered. We didn't agree that, be sure you say this. Be sure, or look for that. He sounded like a reporter who was being trampled. So we appreciate his courage. This is the Taylor Report. There's a song by John Prine that I think is apropos because we're all supposed to care about the environment because we don't want to die on the earth because we screwed it up. So John Prine has a song that will help us stay on that theme.
Yeah, we traveled down to western Kentucky where my parents were born. And there's a backwards old town that's off
remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Well, sometimes we travel right down the Green River to the abandoned old prison down by Avery Hill, where the air smelled like snakes, we'd shoot with our pistols, but empty pop bottles was all we would kill. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. And the coal company came with the world's largest shovel, and they tortured the timber and stripped all the land. Well, they dug for their coal till the land was forsaken, then they rode it all down as the progress of man. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. When I die, let my ashes float down the Green River. Let my soul roll on up to the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting, just 5 miles away from wherever I am. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away.
There you go, John Prine, Paradise. And I got to thank Steve Fruitman for pointing that out. I thought it was Green River. That's the only, because I sing it, you know, and that's what I remember. It's a very important song. It's a very, Labor Day, we're talking about all these things. We need electric vehicles, and we need a lot of them, and we need to build the industry. Unfortunately, the Anglo-Saxon Little Empire, Washington and Ottawa and London are behind. And in the developing world, there are people who make these electrical vehicles for good quality, good price. And Mexico has solved the problem. They have 29 plants in the past 2 years of Chinese vehicles, companies. And they have a good deal with them. Most of those, in those 29 plants, they're producing vehicles which will be sold in South America because the South American workers like the idea of a $10,000 car that is better than the $50,000 car produced by Detroit. And I'm sorry for the United Auto Workers and others, but they better get on the ball and think about the country and say to the manufacturers, let's go with this electric vehicles. And let's also, If you guys are, you understand competition, then compete. Otherwise, bring in the plants of these automakers who know how to do it. Unifor, the union here, has been echoing absolutely every last word. I don't think they even have a brain anymore. I think it's AI. They just take whatever is written by the big three and then write it and then put the union's name at the bottom. And they're not thinking at all, because we are in a free trade agreement with Mexico. Mexico is taking the right steps. They are developing electric vehicles. But we can't do it because the gas guzzlers are going to make us use every last piece of coal and every last drop of oil before they want to go to EV. It's because they make more money producing to a closed-off market, which they dominate and drive everybody else out. They're afraid of competition. But what we ought to have is a policy of business and cooperation and mutual benefit with the car manufacturers. Yes, from China. From China, that's it. They are not a rival. That's just another country. It's a developing country. It doesn't have any designs on us. It doesn't have 800 military bases around the world in order to stand on people, including the Germans, by the way, who are still occupied, and Japan, who are still occupied by the Americans. So on this Labor Day, it's a good time to mention this. If those EV electric vehicle makers were permitted to function here, and by the way, all automakers in Canada are foreign. There is no Canadian car. I hope people notice. There are Italian cars, and there are German cars, and French cars, but there are no Canadian cars. We make them for the Americans. The Americans are 90% of the market. Canadian workers build cars that are sold in the United States. So why shouldn't they make Chinese cars that are sold also in the United States or sold wherever the Chinese manufacturer wants to sell them? And the only answer that is negative and goes all crazy is one based on race. The idea that we could fall behind this people that we always treated as inferior is actually at the nerve center of our Anglo-Saxon madness, which is creating bad trade wars, and the magic word in that line is wars. Trade wars lead to ruins, and the labor movement should not be associated with such ignorant policies. So this has been the Taylor Report, and I want to thank Pedro, and will tell you that a good program. Steve Fruitman, 33-45-78, is coming up.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer out love between all of my brothers, all over this land.
If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning, I'd ring it in the
song. If I had a song,
I'd sing it in the morning,
sing it in the evening,
all over this land.
I'd sing out danger, I'd sing out a warning,
I'd sing out love between all of my brothers.
All of my brothers, all
Some blues are just blues, mine are the minor blues. Some blues are just blues, mine are the minor blues. My troubles are coming by threes and by twos. Blues and more blues, it's the cold black blues.